Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
Verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. So as God prepares this companion for Adam, right away you can get a sense that something unique is happening here. First off, she wasn't made like the other animals. She was made from this guy, from this man. This different method, this unique method tells us that something unique is taking place here with this relationship. God put Adam, it says, into this deep sleep and then took a piece of Adam's side. So the translation says rib. And I think rib helps us understand kind of what's happening here. It gives us a kind of a neat picture, like, well, God turned this stick-like thing into Eve. The word for rib here just means side. So we don't really know exactly what God took, but we know God took flesh and blood to create Eve. Now, I see three important things here in the section here, these principles that I want to mention. One is that in order for Eve to have been created and this relationship to be formed, Adam had to give something. Adam had to give something of himself to have this healthy marriage relationship. And it doesn't appear to be painful, but I do believe it was a sacrifice for Adam to experience. And this is one reason that I think Adam was so in love with Eve, because it cost him something, because she cost him something. And this is a principle, guys, within marriage. If you're preparing yourself for marriage, know that marriage should cost you something. That the more you're willing to invest in your marriage will say how much you actually value that marriage. And in fact, a good way to repair broken marriages is for that couple to begin to invest back into that marriage. The classic path of destruction in marriage is to stop investing in that relationship. Stop communicating, stop giving affection, stop going out on dates, stop going out to couples retreats, all these things that are really good for and healthy for marriages. Stop investing in your marriage and watch the value of your marriage decline. But begin to invest in your marriage. Begin to sacrifice for your marriage and watch your marriage start to receive revitalization. So, amazing principle here. The second thing I see is that Eve came from Adam's side. Now, you guys have probably heard this. It's an old Jewish proverb. It says that God made woman out of the man's, not out of the man's foot to be under him, nor of his head to be over him, but she was taken from under his arm that he might protect her, and from next to his heart that he might love her. Right? Very romantic, very sweet. But coming from the side, it speaks of equality. It speaks of partnership, doesn't it? And then thirdly, she was made from Adam's own flesh and blood here. So when you were looking at Adam and Eve, you were looking essentially at the same person. There was no distinction. They were very different, but it was the same person, the same flesh and blood. Now, within marriage, for Adam to love his wife, it meant that he was actually loving himself. We get the same principle in Ephesians chapter 5. It says in verse 28, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. How? Just as Christ does the church. Again, pointing back to Jesus' relationship with the church. But for this reason, guys, because they're one flesh, because in a marriage you're one flesh, marriage becomes the perfect proving ground for the golden rule, for loving your neighbor as yourself. No other relationship do you benefit more than loving your neighbor as yourself. So marriage is like the best place to practice loving your neighbor as yourself. Great principle in marriage. In fact, here's a little tip for you. If you think you have an unhealthy thought life, imagine how you would feel if your spouse was thinking those things. That's a good filter. Okay, before you do this or that action, imagine how you would feel if your spouse performed those actions, right? It's a great way of looking at the golden rule in the context of marriage. I want to love my spouse like I love myself. How would I want her to love me? How would I want him to love me? Verse 23, Eve is created now, right? And Adam, his jaw's probably on the floor. She's standing there in her glory, if you know what I mean. And Adam is just like, yeah, this is awesome. And he breaks into poem. It might even have been a song. I don't know. But scholars tell us that this is actually a poetic form of writing. So he breaks into this song. He's like, at last, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Give the guy a break. It's his first poem, okay? He's very young, you know. But you can get that sense that, like, okay, this is an obvious statement. It's just a declarative statement of the obvious. But to break into poem, I mean, Adam is expressing before God, before Eve. This is some of the first words Adam spoke. He's like, wow, this person is like me. This person is mine. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, we get this idea that, you know, I am man and she is woman. But the whole, the concept behind the word man is this, it's rooted in the name Adam from the ground. And the name woman, it doesn't really distinguish that, okay, there's man and then there's the woman. It's like, wow, this is, he's not distinguishing them as different. He's actually commenting that they are similar, that they are the same. This animal is not like any other animal that I just saw. This animal is like me. This animal is from, this creature is amazing. He's celebrating. There's like joy involved here. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Bam, sign the wedding marriage license, pull around the limousine. That's it right there. That was the Lord right there declaring the first wedding ceremony. Verse 25, and the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. So as we wrap up this chapter here, two extremely significant principles for marriage are found in these last two verses. First off, it says that man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. What this means is that your immediate family right now, if you're single, your dad, your mom, your brothers, your sisters, when you get married, guess what? They take a step back. What's now your immediate family becomes your extended family. Your new exclusive immediate family becomes the husband or the wife that you marry as God develops a brand new family unit. That's the healthy model. And it's not just your family, not just your immediate family. Everybody in your life has to take a step backwards. Your friends have to take a step backwards because there's now a new place in your life for someone extra special. Not just your relationships, your hobbies need to take a step back. I often say at wedding ceremonies, man shall leave his father, his mother, and his Xbox and be joined to his wife. And it's true. Like, yeah, I know like video games is a thing for grown-ups these days, but come on, guys. Like, is your wife even cool with you spending that many hours, you know, pouring into a video game and like she's there like, hey, you even noticed the dress I'm wearing, you know? Like, leave and cleave. Leave your old lifestyle and make room for your husband. Make room for your wife. That's what he's saying here. Leave and cleave. Secondly, he says that they were both naked and unashamed. And I love this passage. This passage tells us that sex was God's idea. Do you guys realize that? Okay, he created this man and this woman, and they were quite the specimen, right? They had no loss of genetic information here, right? They were good looking. This is a good looking couple. Place them naked in the middle of this paradise and made them attracted to each other, and then was like, hey guys, be fruitful and multiply. And I'll let you guys figure out how that works. You know what I mean? Like, God invented marriage. God invented sex within marriage. And it's an amazing, beautiful expression of love within the confines of marriage. There have been Christians throughout the ages who have really demonized sex itself and made it seem like something dirty. And I hope that you have a healthy perspective on sex, that as you look forward to marriage, or if you're already married, that sex within the confines of marriage is like the final frontier of the Garden of Eden. Like, no holds bar. You enjoy that within your marriage. But it must be within the confines of marriage. Guys, sex within marriage is so good, so healthy for society. We talked about this before, marriage being the foundation, but sex within that marriage, it makes a tighter union between that man and woman. Sex within a marriage makes more kids. I don't know if that's news to you, but that's how it happens. When a couple is involved sexually, the kids are aware of it, and hopefully they don't know all of that stuff, but it gives them a security when mom and dad really love each other and are even romantic. It creates a stable family. Sex within marriage is amazing, it's healthy, and it impacts society for the good. And Satan hates this. Sex outside of marriage is crippling. It's detrimental to society. We've been hammered and hammered and hammered with sex outside of marriage in our culture to the point where we're numb to it, to the point where even Christians think casual sex is okay, sex outside of marriage is okay, sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend is okay. Even some Christians thinking homosexual sex is okay. Sex outside of marriage, guys, is the dark underbelly of our society. Yeah, this person might have enjoyed it here or there. You might have been able to enjoy it here or there without any real effects on anybody, but you've affected somebody. You've affected yourself. And I want to tell you, look at all the decay of our society that's taking place here. Broken homes, broken families, divorce typically happens because of sex outside of marriage. Single moms raising kids, single fathers raising kids, sex outside of marriage. Millions and millions of abortions, sex outside of marriage. Rape, sex outside of marriage. Child abuse, woman abuse, sex trafficking, sex outside of marriage. Do we really want to like be a part of endorsing this? Now, I'm coming down hard, but this is a real thing, guys. Maybe there's a reason why the homosexual society thinks the church is such a hypocrite for saying that they're wrong for having sex outside of marriage when we're like turn the blind eye to so many people within the church who are having sex with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. That's hypocritical. Sex with outside of marriage, period, is detrimental, guys. It's detrimental. It's creating rottenness in our society. And we need to understand that. And we need to uphold sex within marriage. We need to uphold marriage as God intended it. So guys, in closing, I just want to kind of hearken back to the whole idea of Eve, okay? Being created through Adam's sacrifice. What happened exactly? Adam's side was opened up and flesh and blood were taken so that Eve would have life. Now, marriage speaks of Jesus in so many ways, but you can't miss this. This is so clear, crystal clear, right? The correlation. Jesus Christ, his side was literally opened up. His flesh and blood were given for you and for me so that we would become his bride. He has sacrificed so that we would have life, so that we would have the hope of heaven. We are his bride. The church is his bride. The correlation is amazing. And you can't miss it. However, I'll say that the differences between Jesus and Adam are just as significant because they declare that Jesus' love is greater. You see, Adam, he was in a deep sleep. He underwent like a surgical procedure. It was not a big deal for Adam. Jesus, however, went through a brutal beating. Jesus felt every aspect of his torture. And that tells us that the length of Jesus' love is far greater. The strength of his love is far greater than any love you'll ever experience in life. Secondly, Adam was totally surprised by his marriage. Nowhere in the scripture can we gather that Adam knew what was going to happen, right? Like by the end of that day, he was blown, his mind was blown, and he didn't know what the future held with his wife. He didn't know what was going to happen in the future with Eve. Jesus knew you before the foundations of the world. Jesus was not surprised by you. Jesus made you to be his bride. Jesus knew all the ways in which you personally would sin against him and he would feel the punishment of that sin on the cross. He knew that before he even created you. And he's like, you know what? This marriage is worth it. There's not a marriage in the world that demonstrates that kind of love commitment. To have that foreknowledge and still choose. This shows us Jesus' commitment is that much greater than any other relationship in your life, guys. Now, how tragic would it be if Eve, being created for Adam, Adam's sacrificing to create Eve, and she's like, I'm going to dump truck this guy. I don't like this guy. I don't want you, Adam. How tragic, how sad would that be? And yet how many people hear the love of Jesus Christ, know his sacrifice, and reject him? Listen, guys, you were created to be Christ's bride. You were created to be in a love relationship with Jesus, to be fulfilled by him, and he's paid dearly for it. He sacrificed greater than anybody else. And you have a choice. You do have a choice in the matter. But it would be the greatest tragedy and the worst decision of your existence to reject the love of the Savior. And so as I close this out in prayer, I just want to invite you. I urge you, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you haven't done that. Let's pray. Father, we do want to just acknowledge that Jesus, Lord, is the true fullness of marriage, the true enjoyment of life. Lord, that you are our portion. And you are all that we could ever need or want or desire. We also acknowledge, Lord, that you've paid dearly to be in union with us, and that this union is an eternal union. It's a safe union. It's a secure and a pleasurable union with you, Jesus. And so I thank you for drawing many of us into this relationship with you. And I pray for those who haven't committed themselves to you, who haven't experienced the fulfillment that is found in a personal relationship with you, Jesus, the security found, the enjoyment found, the purpose found in a relationship, that they would have the wisdom to commit themselves to you right now, wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, if they're listening to this even down the road, that they would give their hearts and lives to you as soon as this thing ends. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey everyone, Pastor Sean here. Thanks so much for listening to another Ignition Tucson podcast. You know, if you've given your life to the Lord listening to these podcasts, maybe you have questions, you want to know what it looks like to give your life to the Lord, we would love to hear from you. Please email me directly at Sean, S-E-A-N, @calvarytucson.com. If these messages are an encouragement to you, if they've blessed you in any way, we'd love to hear from you as well. And we invite you to share these messages on your social media pages and help get the word out. We really are passionate about the Word of God. And we believe that as we are faithful to preach it and teach it, that it will transform and change lives for eternity and for the good. And lastly, if you'd like to be a part of Ignition Tucson's family, we invite you to come out every Thursday at Calvary Tucson's East Campus Coffee Shop. That's 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. Come on out. We get free coffee and fellowship from 6:30 to 7, and then our church service, worship service, starts at 7 p.m. God bless you guys. Be sure to tune in next week as we cover Genesis chapter 3, the sin, the fall of mankind. And I hope you can join us. God bless you.